Good morning again, my friend. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, more this week on having our faith solely in Christ. As I said last week, we will begin to look at one of God's major making places, a place where we must allow God to take us to spiritually so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge. Now, not just in the grace where God does all the work, my friend, oh no, but also in the knowledge of coming to know, personally, coming to know a holy God. Now, not too many Christians allow God to take them there, but maybe that is why not too many Christians really know much about God. The place I am talking about is the wilderness. Now, when we look at a physical wilderness, there seems to be little to no life present, but after closer inspection, and if we can be still long enough, we will find the wilderness, even though stark and barren looking, it is full of life. Life abounds. But to see that life, we must change our focus and our thinking away from our expectation. This life found in the wilderness is a divine arrangement of God, a divine arrangement as appointed to our Christian experiences. As babes at first, you know, we find we are in the garden of the Lord, well-watered everywhere. Our spiritual and physical senses are dramatically touched by spiritual water and greenery. Our spiritual taste buds have experienced the goodness of the Lord, yet with our adulation, we are totally unaware that we are on our way to the wilderness. We leave a land spiritually of pleasant greenery for a land of great contrast if we desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. A land spiritually in which all of our comforts and our palatable delights are found. At first we have the pleasurable senses of God's closeness and His usual and frequent manifestations, but this is all a prelude to our journey to the wilderness, to the land of stark contrast. The wilderness is the place where we go to scream and nobody can hear us except for God. Have you ever been there, my friend? If not, and you want to walk with the holy God, I promise you, my friend, you will have to have a rendezvous with Him. But you'll have to know Him, not in the land that flows with milk and honey, oh no, but in the land that flows with briars of resentment, thorns of misjudgment, stickers of disappointment, and sand spurs of rejection. But if we can learn the lessons God desires to teach us, then we, like Christ, will come up out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. In Matthew 4:1, it reads, "Then was Jesus led up," or driven, in Mark 1:12, it says, "driven by the Spirit into the wilderness." That's Matthew 4:1. God the Father speaking, "This is my beloved Son." The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove landing on Him, the clouds parting, and all of this was not enough for Jesus to begin His ministry. Oh no, Jesus had to go to the wilderness to receive power. The wilderness is the place where we go to receive power. It is the place we go to learn to lean upon our beloved. In Song of Solomon 8:5, it says, "Who is he coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" Song of Solomon 8:5. Boy, I really like that verse. The wilderness is the place where we go for our spiritual learning, for our spiritual schooling, to learn discipline and all of the finer points of God that allows us to flow and function with Him. Again, it is the spiritual making place where we receive the power of the Spirit. In Luke 4:14, we read, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out fame of Him throughout all of the region round about." Luke 4:14. The wilderness was the making place for Jesus to go to receive power of the Spirit. And is the servant greater than the master? I think not, my friend. If we too want the power of the Spirit like Jesus, God has a wilderness experience, or maybe a couple or two picked out just for us. Not only for people, though, my friend, but also nations can go to the wilderness. I believe America today is in the wilderness today because of her unbelief and her waywardness and her disobedience. Not so much to receive power of the Holy Spirit, because God will not give disobedient children nor an apostate church what we find in America, His Holy Spirit. The sad part is the church in America does not even know that they lack the power of the Holy Spirit, because they are too busy singing and dancing and doing all that they can do for God in their own thinking and in their own power. And God just holds His nose to all of this. All I can say is, church, thank God for God's long suffering. But sadly, this too will run out for America. And then I will prophesy all hell will predict and more than what we see today. When Israel would not believe God and enter the land that He had already given them, it became necessary for them to go to the wilderness also. Actually, 8 different wilderness, and each wilderness had a specific work that God wanted to do in their life. But this was not a punishment, rather it was a necessary time of judgment intended to bring them to where they would believe Him and enter into His rest. The first time Israel was told to enter the land, you know, already given to them by God Almighty, they refused. And why? Well, they were occupied with themselves. Boy, does that sound familiar. They were occupied with their own weaknesses and all of their diversions and distractions and all of these things. But the second time, after 40 years, under Joshua, they exited the wilderness. Times of pain and uncertainty and perplexity and confusion and doubt and questioning and all of that so much has this way of working things out of our heart and out of our lives. And what happened? Well, what happened was the wilderness. What did the wilderness accomplish? Did it make them stronger? Oh, no, my friend. It exposed them and their total weaknesses. Did you get that? These hard, hard, trying, and very difficult times in the wilderness exposes our weaknesses. Let me say that again. These hard and trying, difficult times in our wildernesses, they expose our weaknesses. The wilderness is the experience in God where He exposes the truth about us. So let me say that again. The wilderness is the experiences in God that we have where He exposes the truth about us. And that is, there is nothing in us that is good. It is all intended, if we will embrace this truth, to get us to where we put ourselves aside and enter into His purposes and His grace through faith. You know, I always remember Luke 15:4, the Good Shepherd story. Well, that's a wonderful story, but did you know the 99 sheep, they were not put in a nice green pasture when the shepherd went out to find the lost sheep. Oh, no. The 90 and the 9, they were put in the wilderness for safekeeping. Wow. The wilderness has a way of working things out of us and then working God's things into us. My friend, the wilderness is the place that God desires to take us all to. And if we open up our spirit and allow God to take us to these hard and trying times, these difficult areas, these things that we want nothing to do with, and He'll be able to work in our life and teach us and grow us, and we will understand the way that He functions and He operates and He flows. But if not, then, well, we will continue on in our haphazard ways, and we're just continue on in the ways that of the world and traditions and religions, and we will never ever come to know God. That's not His intention. God's intention is for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting and hoping you have a tremendous week and the Lord is able to take you to the wilderness. And remember, the wilderness is the place where we learn to lean on our Beloved. Who is He coming up from the wilderness, leaning on His Beloved, that He could be you, my friend. God bless. More next week. Amen.